Long ago, Pilate, the Roman governor, looked into the face of Jesus Christ and said, "What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And this is a question that each one of us have got to face. You do not face the Christ who was going out to die at Calvary. You face the risen Christ, the mighty victor of Calvary, the one that rose from the dead triumphant, who is able to save to the uttermost all that come unto God by him. And I'm going to ask you in these few moments to look into his face and ask and answer this great question in your soul. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? You know, I have discovered something which is rather startling. I've discovered that the average person that I talk to, and I've preached the gospel in 32 different lands of recent years, I've discovered that the average person I talk to knows deep down in their heart what they ought to do with Jesus Christ. I know they often argue why they're not Christians. I've heard men say the Bible's full of mistakes, the churches are full of hypocrites, they give reasons why they haven't given their lives to Christ. But if you can get behind that smokescreen, that camouflage, deep down in their soul, in the secret place, they know what they ought to do with the Son of God. You know, I found this out in England when I was a young man many, many years ago. I'd been saved by God's grace, and I'd joined a band of open-air workers who used to go out and preach Christ in my hometown. And we found the best place to catch a good crowd was outside the good old British pub. They closed at 10 o'clock in those days, and we used to stand outside at 10 o'clock, and as they came pouring out from the public house, they would hear the singing, gather round, and listen to the message. And do you know, I was standing this Saturday night preaching one of my first messages, just a big boy with stammering lips telling the story of what Christ meant to me. All of a sudden, an Englishman in the crowd, I can see him now, a man about 50 years of age, cigarette between his lips, his hand in his pocket, a few friends around him, a smile on his face. He chipped in with words like this. "I say, sonny, does your mother know you're out?" The crowd began to laugh at my expense. And he went on, seeing that he had raised a laugh, with words like this. "Who are you to come to talk to us? Time you were in bed." The crowd laughed. And one after another, these little jibes came in, exposing my youthfulness. Who was I to come and talk to grown men at this time of night? I remember one thing he said. He said, "You can hardly grow any hair on your face yet." Well, I couldn't. I couldn't produce a cricket 11 on my upper lip. I hadn't started to shave my chin. I was just a big boy. But when I finished and stepped back into my place, I was surprised to see, pushing through the crowd and stepping into the center, none other person than my own father. I didn't know Dad was anywhere near the crowd that night. I don't think I'd have spoken if I'd known Dad was listening. But there he was. Stepping into the middle of the ring, he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, I had no desire to speak in this meeting tonight. But," he said, "I heard that man over there asking questions of this young preacher. He said, I thought I was the best one to come and answer these questions. So here I am." And then he turned to that man, and I shall never forget what he said. He said, "I want to talk to you, sir. He said, I want to tell you that my wife and myself do know that our dad's out tonight. That's answered your first question. And we thank God that our boy is out here serving Jesus Christ, preaching the gospel. We can't think of any better place in town tonight than we would see him. Far sooner see him here than walking the streets in bad company, in some gambling den, in some dancing hall, or even in the flicks. Now," he said, "sir, I've answered your question, and now I want to talk to you." And I don't think I've ever heard a man talk to like that. Dad just went for him, right and left. And I remember how he finished his words. He said, "Christian England, forsooth, to think that a man of your age should speak to a young fellow like this." He said, "Listen, there are men round this meeting who would gladly lay down their right hand and have their right hand cut off and suffer the loss of a hand if only they could know that their boys were like mine. How dare you, Scotter?" And he kicked him off. Well, I got in about 11 that night, and when I got in, my father hadn't come in, and I waited for some time, and in he came about 5 past 11 that night, and dear old Dad was just bubbling over with excitement. He said, Harold, do you remember that man that was scoffing at you round the meeting? I said, yes. Thanks, Dad, for a helping hand. Well, he said, you know that man followed us up the road here? I said, he followed you. What happened? Well, he said, my friend and I were coming along the top road, and he said, someone followed behind us, and we heard a voice saying, excuse me, sir. He said, we turned round, and there he was, looking into our faces. And I said, what do you want? And he said, your words have hurt me, sir. And my father said, he told me this, he said, I felt like saying, serve you jolly well right, but he said, I kept that back. And he said, I said, my words have hurt you, how's that? He said, your words have hurt me, sir. He said, I've only got one boy of my own, and he's lying in a London prison tonight, and I don't know what's going to happen to him. He said, I'd give both my hands if my boy was like yours. And then this man broke down with sobs. My father went up to him, put his hands on his shoulders. He said, why did you talk to my boy as you did? He said, I didn't mean it, sir. He said, I just did it for a bit of fun. I wanted the other fellows to think I was a good sport. He said, you know, sir, I knew your lad was right all the time. Now listen, friends. About 10 minutes to 11 that night, my father led that sobbing man to Jesus Christ, the man who was sneering and scoffing half an hour before around that meeting. Did you know that opens my eyes to something? I've tested it out in many different countries, in many situations. The average man and woman that I meet knows. They know deep down in the secret places of their hearts that there's only one answer to this question as you come face to face with Jesus Christ, who loved you, who died for you to win your salvation. As he comes and says, give me thy heart. What then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? It rings in your soul, and you know the right answer. Why don't you make that answer today? Are you going to be a coward? Are you going to drift? Drifting will get you nowhere. Largely you can write over Australia today. Tomorrow he promised his conscience. Tomorrow I mean to believe. Tomorrow I'll think as I ought to. Tomorrow my Savior receive. Tomorrow I'll conquer the habits that hold me from heaven away. But ever his conscience repeated one word and one only, today. Tomorrow, 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 thus day after day it went on. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. His youth like a vision had gone, and age and its passions had written the message of fate on his brow. And forth from the shadows came death with its pitiless syllable, now. And there are souls drifting out into eternity who all their lives have neglected, have drifted. Now, drifting will get you nowhere. Why not play the man? Why not be an honest woman? Why not go to a quiet spot and look into the face of Jesus, who loved you as no one else has ever loved you, who died to meet your desperate need and danger upon the cross, bearing your sin at Calvary? And he says to you, give me thy heart. And your answer, what's it going to be? As the greatest question in life is faced, what then shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What shall I do with Jesus? What shall the answer be? Oh, friend, bravely face it today. Seek a quiet spot on bended knee with a door shut, and look into his face and say, Lord Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou canst make me whole, and you'll never regret it. God bless you.